Hi, this is John St. John.
This is Dave Fenoy.
This is Ashley Birch.
Hey, it's Frank Grillo.
And you're listening to my favorite.
And you're listening?
Listen to this podcast.
Listen to the Game Fix Podcast.
To the Game Fix Podcast.
Welcome to Game Fix Podcast.
Game Fix Show.
Hello, my friend. Stay a while and listen.
Oh, my God, dude. Yeah.
What?
That does not taste good at all.
Spider-Man takes leaks. Hulk takes fucking shits.
All right, partner. You know what time it is.
Let's go crazy! Go crazy!
Welcome to another edition of the Game Fix Podcast. I am Spanish.
That's Mike.
I'm Mike.
And I forgot to unmute
Mike wasn't
mic.
On.
I'm Verlaine. Make sure to check out our website, GameFixShow.com, and our weekly stream or our weekly recorded podcast right here. If you're not, Facebook.com/GameFixShow and Twitch.tv/GameFix.
That's right.
Hi.
Yeah.
Hi.
So, yeah, please check out our website, GameFixShow.com. You get all of our links there. You could follow us on social medias. You can support us even through our Patreon. So we do appreciate everyone that does that. We got a few messages this week from Bocephus, letting us know that there is a, they just announced The Witcher 4. So we are actually going to get into that on the show. So yeah, that's so thank you for that. Even though we saw it before he said it, but we'll just give him credit for it. That's fine. I'm cool with that. Yeah. No, don't say that.
No. Right. I said we didn't.
All right, but the brownie points.
The brownie points. Also, I mentioned it last week. There's a link actually on our website. We teamed up with an NFT called Dr. Duck Syndicate. So their NFTs are live. Go check them out. That's it. You can see right on the website, find a little duck picture in the bottom, the right-hand corner, so you can find it. So, okay. All right. So enough said with that. So let's get into a couple of things. There is a lot going on. Like I said, Witcher 4. Okay. We'll see how that goes, because there's actually something funny about it, and it's actually something Mike pointed out that was really funny that we're definitely going to get into. Also, a wizardingly game that's coming out. That's a terrible tease. Gee, I wonder what I'm talking about, right? Like, yeah, what could he be talking about? And then
Ultron.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, that's what it is. And then do we have news about a new wrestling game? Is there news? I want to know. Yeah, so we'll get into
all that and more.
Oh.
All that in a bag of potato chips. Okay. All right. Well, let's get to it. This time I will go first. How about that? Right. We got to talk about what we've been gaming on. So here we go. I'll kind of make it quick, because I haven't really done a lot of different stuff, because I've really kind of, I am deep within Horizon Forbidden West. It's a great game. There's a lot to it that really improved from the last game. I've said that pretty much on every show I think we've had so far since I've been playing it. But I'm still saying it today, because I am about 64 hours in. So, yeah. And I'm still playing it. It's great. It's a lot of fun. So, also, me and Jack the other night played one of the free games on the PlayStation, which is, it was the Sonic Racing. Is that what it's called? Sonic Racing? I could be wrong.
Oh, it's free?
Yeah. And it's pretty cool. I mean, it's like,
I have the Xbox one.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, it's just Mario Kart pretty much, but with Sonic characters. It was pretty cool. We played it twice so far. Actually, I played it last week, and I completely forgot to mention it this week, so I'll mention it this week. But we played it again this week. twice.
That makes it good.
Does it? I mean, it was okay.
Doesn't make it good. Yeah. It means it's good.
Yeah, that's fair.
Makes you enjoy it.
Makes it enjoyable. Yeah, I agree with that. I agree. Mike, why don't you be number two, and we'll wait. We'll do the best for last.
Anyways, I've been playing. I went back to Ring Fit Adventure.
on the Switch. The
I shouldn't laugh. I shouldn't laugh, but I'm laughing. It's good, right? I hear it's really like good. Like it's great.
Yeah, yeah. It really does like get you going and yeah. gets you moving. It just makes you look like a jackass while you're holding the giant rubber ring.
Yeah, right.
Squeezing it and you're bending and you're jogging in place.
Does a lot of the workout part happen because you're holding it in front of you, suspended in air?
Some of it does. Like they'll encourage you to do some like overhead like stretch pulls. So you'll like hold the ring con over your head and then you'll pull. And you can kind of feel your muscles tightening. They'll tell you to hold it for like 3 seconds or so, and then like you'll release. And for the last couple of months, I've been doing the solo like campaign that kind of turns into like a turn-based RPG. And you like squeeze the ring to like fire shots to break boxes. You gather items. You get items early on to create smoothies, which are ways to like either boost some of your defensive and offensive parameters, and you can like get some health and get some health replenishing items. At my age, I'm surprised I can do it as much as I can. I've got like two bad knees, a busted ankle, and such, and it'll tell me to do like 40 planks. I'm exhausted like 8 planks in. So I'll like take a moment, drink about 3 gallons of water.
Are you saying that you're out of shape, Mike? Is that what you're trying to say?
Out of shape crossed with old.
Okay, cool.
Like it really is kind of a kick in the ass, because I thought that I'd go, all right, I feel like I'm in the groove in this, because I'll do it every other day. I'll turn the difficulty up just to see what it does. And when you turn the difficulty up, it makes you hold some of the poses longer. I made the mistake of like giving myself a yoga skill set. I can't do yoga because I'm about as clumsy as a giraffe with 3 club feet. So,
wait. To be clear, I just am picturing this. Does it have, in fact, 4 feet, but just 3 of them?
One of them's real,
or is it just 3 feet? He has,
and they're all clubs.
Yeah.
All right, cool. All right, I just want to be clear. You're fine. Keep. Continue. Sorry.
I have my character at level 87. I've put like 50 something hours into this, so it does give. I've actually been using it as a pre-workout, and then I'll just do like Kenpo or some like burpees afterwards.
Well, but Bocifa says he has a ring fit. He says killing monsters with abs is kind of fun.
Yeah, like that's another, like, yeah. When you're playing defense, you take the ring ab and you press it against your stomach and you just hold it there. And sometimes they'll make you hold a wide squat for almost a minute.
So fun.
That's kind of strange, Mike. I will, you know, that's fine. What else? I mean, you do you, man. You do you.
After that, I decided to torment myself by going back and trying to play Marble Madness. On the NES.
I could hear it. I could hear the music in my head, and it's actually like, yeah.
Yeah, I love that game's music. I really wish they would have released like a home trackball for it, because I forget how agonizing it can be to like move it around on the D-pad. I used to be able to beat it as a kid. I'm trying to add it to the level 50 club. I'm currently stuck at 13 games. The last one I beat was Virtua Cop.
Do fighting game arcade modes count?
Yeah. Sure. I mean, I see no rule harm in that. If I think somebody had made it, I think somebody who's also doing it said that, oh yeah, I'll beat like 5 or 6 story or arcade modes. I think if you clear one, I believe that counts as beating the game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right.
That's pretty much what I've mostly just been playing. Practicing in Marble Madness, because I used to be able to beat it, and now I can't.
Oh my god, never even gotten close to that.
You ever play Snake Rattle and Roll? Of course you have.
Oh, I love that game.
Yes. I like that game, and I like it better than Marble Madness. Like, and it's the same kind of issue, is that three-dimensional type only on the D-pad. That's what made me think of that.
That's cool.
Yeah, It's that like sort of like ISO view that That was really ambitious for a lot of NES games to try.
Yeah.
And anytime I saw one, it was always cool that they tried. Or like the first person view in like Fester's Quest when you go into the buildings.
Did you ever play Faceball 2000 on Game Boy?
Oh yes, yeah. Oh god,
someone's got to do a review, a Game Boy review. You haven't done a Game Boy review yet, have you?
I've done one. Okay. Operation C when I was.
Oh, that's right. I almost forgot about that one. That's cool.
I need to knock out some more Game Boy titles and some Game Boy Advance.
Well, in the meantime, before Verlaine goes, why don't you tell us all what your this week retro reboot is that you're putting out? What Tuesday noon o'clock?
Yep, I will be happy to. It is Dragon, a Bruce Lee story.
Sweet.
For the Sega Genesis.
Sweet.
It kind of it's like a quasi fighting game that kind of isn't one, and it can be like really frustrating to play. But it's one of those ones that I kept putting in the console when I was a kid.
Well, cool. Looking forward to seeing that. That'll be on our website, gamefixshow.com, on Tuesday. Tomorrow. That's tomorrow. Today's anyway. Well, if you're listening to this, it might not be tomorrow. It might have been yesterday. I don't know. It's just so you know. Verlaine, what have you been playing?
I tried a new game that's one of the free games on Xbox, the soccer game Street Power Soccer.
Okay.
It's essentially like 3-on-3 soccer, and it's kind of, I want to say NBA Jam, but kind of not. I mean, I didn't play enough of it, but there's a lot of a trickery. There's certain things you could do with the ball. Like, you know how soccer players do those fancy footwork moves and you can use them to like distract. Well, it goes above and beyond with what you do with those. There's special moves, but really it's just 3-on-3 soccer arcade style. It's okay. It's okay for right now. Like, I mean, I like FIFA, and honestly, like in this case, I'd rather play the real soccer, like FIFA, than...
Oh, I thought you meant like actually go outside and play soccer.
Never.
it would be like what Mike looks like doing yoga. It'd be you playing soccer. That's what that... Yeah.
Yeah.
I would actually pay to see both, by the way. So
I dabbled in some more of Beat Saber because of the new update and the new songs. It's so cool. Yeah. Like, you really need to try it.
I know. I haven't even got into it. Cool. Well, I had a little mishap at my house, and right now I don't really have a space to play VR. Our basement may have gotten a little flooded. No big deal. It's not as bad as you think, but I don't have room to play right now.
Yeah, that sucks.
But we'll get it. Yeah. Anything else?
I've been playing Infernax still. I found the third castle. Found the third castle. So if you're playing the game, just remember, like, you're going to get to a point where you have no idea what the fuck to do. And it took me a little bit. And I had to start at the very beginning. Like, I made my dude go all the way to the beginning of where I was and went every possible direction until I came to a dead end. I just figured out that you actually beat castles. Like, I went in to a castle, I'd find the key, unlock the door, get the power, and then leave. But I didn't realize there were actually bosses in the castle. So I went and beat all the bosses. And then I still couldn't figure anything out. I'm supposed to do one mission that I can't do. I cannot do it right now. So I went and talked to every single person. And then one person said something to me that I just remembered. And I got to a certain part and I remembered it. And that's it. And like, so now I'm excited to go into that castle because I haven't been in the castle yet.
Yeah.
So I'm about to go in there and then probably earn my next move. The game is sweet, dude. I love this game so far. It's
really good. I mean, I think Mike would agree. Like, it's very old school. It's very, but it's like a new old school, right?
Yeah.
Like,
it's improved. It's just cryptic enough to keep you like investigating, but not enough to make you like get frustrated. Like, I don't know how much you remember of like Zelda 1 where the game told you nothing.
Most Nintendo games didn't tell you anything, let's be fair.
Yeah, like you can at least follow clues in this one.
Yeah,
so
yeah, okay. it was cool, and I didn't even know really that you could do such a good bad path. I thought, hey, it was kind of like anti-hero type shit that you would do, but in fact, like, some of the stuff I'm doing, like I have one spell that you only get by being a villain. You know what I'm saying? And so, like, I'd be interested to see what happens if I weren't to make that move, but I can't go back. They're like drastic moves, like destroying a fucking dam. But the game's just way deeper than anyone would think. Just like Dead Cells. On the surface, if you just saw trailers or just a little bit of gameplay of Dead Cells, you have no fucking idea.
Yeah.
Like, it's such a great game.
Same with like Hades and, you know.
People are starting to do retro games right. They're starting to understand that, like, retro games are appealing to us because of nostalgia. But if we could have gotten more, they would have made the games better. Like, you know, we go back and we play these old games on Nintendo, and it's like, you know, you like them because of what they were nostalgically, but, like, they're dumb and they're either too easy or ridiculously hard. And it's like, why don't you have this feature? But these guys are, like, putting the features that we should have had. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Like, they're making these old games new and not just giving us another bare bones reskinned Metroidvania type game where you're doing the same shit.
Yeah.
You know, this game at very first, like upon maybe the first four frames, seems like you're doing a normal, like, it's going to be like the same old shit. Oh, here we go again. Another fucking dumb indie game that's trying to be old school. But then you start learning that the game is so much deeper. And it's just like, I appreciate that in these games because usually I steer away from them. I got so used to, like, oh, a new game's coming out from an indie guy. Oh, it's a fucking 16-bit fucking retro game. Like, fuck it.
Yeah.
You know, like, I steer away from it. And then, so I found this game also on Game Pass called Century Age of Ashes. I was just bored going through the games, and this game has been out for like a year on Steam. And I downloaded it. I knew nothing about the game. It just has a dragon on the cover, so I downloaded it and I started playing it. Dude, it's 6v6 dragon riding. So it's essentially a dogfight, but you're on fucking dragons.
That's sweet.
And the dragons have like for instance, the healing class of the dragons has a move where, like, you kind of target your squad mate and you just, like, burst, like, do your turbo flight to them. And it's like you just hand them a shield in the middle of their fight or whatever. It's so crazy, dude. The graphics are fucking awesome. And I'm very confused because you guys went to go download it and couldn't. Right. Or at least Jack tried. It said you cannot download this on Xbox.
I looked for it. I didn't look for it on the console, but I looked through it on the app. And it said like available for the Xbox Series X or S.
Yeah,
it did not. It did not say one. Yeah,
yeah. Jack tried downloading it through the store, and he has got like the 1S or whatever, or one or whatever.
I have.
But when they announced the game coming to console, they announced it for every PS4, Xbox One X, you know, Xbox Series X, and I don't know if it's on PlayStation 5 now or if it's going to even be where they're like, never mind, we're not going to make it for those consoles anymore.
Or it's just featured on Game Pass on Xbox. And if you want to own the game, you'll have to buy it. Same with PlayStation. That's what I'm assuming.
It's probably time release.
Yeah, or maybe well, it's time
for,
release.
I'm saying just for like the past generation of Xboxes, like, because sometimes like with Mortal Kombat, at least Titanfall, like, you know, they... Other companies usually will port the games over.
Yeah.
When it comes to the other generations, like they'll hire another company and that company will port the game over. But it's like almost like why?
Okay, here it is. I got a little information as far as like when it's going to be all released. It says Microsoft Windows plan to be released for Xbox Series X and S on March 10th. So that was, okay, that was 11 days ago, right. And for PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5 and Xbox One in 2022. So it's not even available for anything else. It's only available on PC and on the Xbox Series X or S.
Playing the game, like, I don't... Just graphically, like, I don't know, man. This is a game that, like, just looking at it, and if you were to be like, oh, this is an exclusive, at least just generationally, like, I would believe it because it's amazing. Like, I wouldn't even want to play this game prior generation. Like, it's almost like it took a machine this powerful, like, this generation, even the PlayStation 5, to make a game that, like, that's just pretty much 6v6 dogfighting. We got that in Battlefront. But to make it so appealing, it's the graphics, making the dragons, setting the theme. So if you can't achieve that, then I don't think the game is going to be anything. And it's very odd to say about a game, but like, it's just the graphics really feed into what the game is.
It's cool.
I don't know. Cool. It's cool. Century Ashes, Age of Ashes.
One of these days.
Xbox One.
Yeah, one of these days I'll play it.
Yeah, dude, it's cool. Totally cool.
All right, well, let's see what everyone else is playing. Troy answered. He said that he's been killing it with Inquisitor Martyr. I haven't played that. Yeah, I haven't played that. Yeah, what's going on, Troy? And then... what else? I saw another one.
Josephus held a squat in prison once, so.
Oh, that's what it was.
That's what he's been playing.
Although he has been playing this, and it's actually something we're going to start with. So it turns out that the Fortnite building has been turned off in the default mode.
Wow.
Oh my God. That's crazy. Although I will say this gives me just a little bit of a want to play it again. Just because I hated the building. I hated that I lost because of somebody else building a fort in front of me or whatever. Now that this doesn't happen, now I'm like, maybe I'll check it out. What say you guys? Verlaine, you go first.
I don't think I'll check it out, because then it's still like, you know, I've gotten even as good as Warzone is, like I've gotten away from that game type, like the battle royale, like it consumes a lot. However, it's something A that should have been done a while ago. B, it's look, I am not a fan of the cross-play between PC and console. This game, I mean, I think it's bad in Overwatch, but this fucking game, when it comes to building, keyboard and mouse versus console, fucking, you were dominated. Like, so if you on a console are going against somebody on a PC that knows how to build, you're not going to win. You're not going to fucking win, ever. Unless you're lucky, because, like, it's unreal. The ability, like, it's almost like they build better than they can shoot, but that's all it takes in this game, which is why I understand, like, that's kind of a good thing to take away, because there's plenty of times that I've died because I didn't learn how to build, and I didn't make that part of my muscle memory in the game. Like, I don't play a game to put up shields. Like, I'm gonna fucking shoot you.
Yeah.
You know? So, like, it's good, but it's still, like, kind of like going from, you know, roll queue, or, you know, being able to pick anyone to roll queue in fucking Overwatch. It's game changing, but then they keep the regular stuff on the side. So in a way it's like, does it really matter? Because, like, I think it'd be more impactful if they're like, all right, you know what? Fuck building. It's done. You know what I'm saying? If they're like, it's out, then I would be definitely interested in playing. But I have a feeling that if you go play now, like, hey, no building, you're just going to get a normal server of a bunch of dudes that don't know that didn't even care about the building.
Yeah.
I would really like to play against the people that need the building to win and can't do it anymore. Fortnite, like, I don't know, man. Fortnite's just, it's dying. It's slowly dying.
Sure. And like any other game, but yeah.
But yeah, I don't.
I think they pulled I think they pulled these kind of stunts to kind of like gauge interest in it. I think it was last year when it was like that black hole that was that had like shut down the game, and I think it stopped working for what, a week or so, and then it like relaunched with like that like newer season. So based off what I've heard, this was supposed to be the building was supposed to be down for 9 days, because I think they're rolling in something new, like maybe a new map or something.
Dude, yeah, you know what? It one thing that Epic does with Fortnite is all of this fucking like everything else. You know, like when events happen, it changes the whole fucking game. And when events happen, almost like when they released Sombra, like people go and they try to find all these clues and all the trailers and all this cryptic shit. And Fortnite does it, but they do it to where it's like, you know what? You don't even need to fucking pay attention, because the event's going to happen and everyone's going to see it. And it's going to, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's usually something that's cool, because it's like, wow, like they actually did this. They will actually shut down the fucking game for a week to make this event more impactful. They will let the world think that they're done.
Troy says that it's a stunt.
That's all, but that's all Fortnite is a publicity stunt. Having normal people,
Because now that are celebrities, because now it features Doctor Strange without even like announcing it. It was just like, oh yeah, he's there. There was no announcement of Doctor Strange, but now he's in Fortnite. So okay, fine, whatever.
But they do that stuff. Like if they did that shit for Overwatch, where like it's all of a sudden like, oh my god, these characters are gone from the game, and why? Oh, I can't play this level. It's like this map is completely different. Oh shit! Now the game's completely done for, and no one knows what the fuck. And a week later, it comes back as Overwatch 2. You know, that's the type of shit that Epic does. That's pretty cool. But it's that Fortnite is such a childish, shitty game. Like, dude, imagine if they kept Unreal Tournament and did it like that. If Unreal Tournament had the events that Fortnite got, shit, I would go see a fucking dude perform live in Unreal Tournament if they were to keep that game out.
Yeah.
Like, that would be sweet. You know, they're on to shit. Having live performances, like, dude, if they did that in Overwatch or any fucking game, if someone's like, hey, meet me in Horizon Zero Dawn, you're going to see fucking Kanye West perform live only in that game, like you would go even if you don't like the dude.
I mean, because they've done that before with like Marshmello and all that. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So if they were doing that with games that like were really cool that we liked, you know, and like it's just all amounts to I'm saying they're really good at the fucking marketing shit.
Yeah.
You know, but it is getting stale where we all know it's marketing now. So they need to either come up with new marketing or just kill Fortnite and come up with a brand new game.
Yeah, good luck with that.
But I don't think they can, because what happened to Dauntless? Dauntless, like, half of existence probably doesn't know that exists.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's still proven to be a little bit of a cash cow. Yeah, it's slowing down, but it's still proven to be a bit of a moneymaker.
Yeah, like, even where they are, they're going to be fine. You know, even if nothing compared. I mean, look at the fucking CSGO community still fucking there, and it's like, you know, it's still not a new game, but the fan base that it has, the fan bases that these games have is enough to just keep them alive. And sometimes it's good enough. Yeah. You know, hey, you know, we're making some money. You're making money for doing nothing. Like, you achieved it. Good job.
Yeah, I agree. Actually, I can't even argue that. Damn it. I wish I could, but I can't. All right.
Hanging into popularity, you know. Yeah. Dwayne The Rock Johnson's the guy from Fortnite, so.
Yeah, I challenge you to Fortnite. Yeah. All right, let's get in something. Actually, Mike, you wrote this today. This was, I guess you would call it breaking at the point where you wrote it. So, Verlaine, you're going to love this.
And I do love things.
Yeah, you love things. CD Projekt Red. You know, your favorite, announced a new Witcher game and a partnership with Epic Games to use Unreal 5. Mike, Mike, take us through this. What the fuck are we reading?
So, this was like a match made in hell right now.
To say the least.
They want to get Unreal Engine 5 over. The Witcher 3 was probably the first really huge game of like last gen. So they're probably going to ride what goodwill and popularity that they have off of that one.
Yeah, plus with the TV show and all that. Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, so like the Witcher's it's still a little bit of a hot commodity right now. Certainly more than Cyberpunk. I wonder if it's going to be a real controversial decision, science from now, to like abandon their Red engine, which they're still not going to give up using their Red engine for Cyberpunk. They're still going to provide updates and expansions for that using that engine. And I've only played like The Witcher 2 a little bit. I thought it was one of the worst games that I'd played. Story wise and lore wise, it's interesting. The combat, absolutely atrocious. So, if like CD Projekt Red is looking to build goodwill with this, to like get Unreal Engine 5 over, because their engine has been one of the more proprietary engines in game development for what, the better part of 14, 15 years.
Yeah.
And it's it's going to be interesting to see two companies that for like the last probably year and a half or two that have just been embroiled in like a little bit of controversy with how Cyberpunk rolled out, the disaster that that game was because it was caught between generational development cycles and they kept putting it off and off. And then there's Epic Games who were in a bunch of lawsuits, mostly with Apple, over like the in-game purchases. And like once details from that trial came out, people learned how much it costs for like game companies to use Unreal Engine. So Unreal Engine is expensive. Epic Games is going to continue to rake cash off of that. But now a lot of game companies are kind of like building their own engines to run their own games off of that software. So are they going to try and buy some of those like companies back with this by saying, look, one of the biggest games of like the last decade is going to be using Unreal 5. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, obviously they're trying to push their stuff and, you know, joining a company like Epic. I mean, you say what you want about Epic. They have more money than most video game companies. So I get what they're doing. I get what, you know, obviously with the terrible release of as you mentioned Cyberpunk 2077 or 2099 2083 whatever the new year is
8011
before yeah something like that they're trying to get some kind of goodwill and try to almost bury that like nothing happened. At least that's what I think. That's what it kind of sounds like. Verlay, what do you think about that?
I don't know about how this all would have come about, but I think that in a way this is kind of a test because I feel unfortunately that CD Projekt Red they were way over ambitious, and a lot of companies are, but they were so ambitious where it almost felt like their ambition didn't stop once they started making the game.
Yeah.
And they had all these ideas, and then like because of this whole generational like switchover, they started programming the game on Xbox One, and then they're given all this other stuff that they could do with Xbox Series X being the most powerful. So they start doing that, and then maybe realizing they can't port that over backwards, but they already have commitments to make the game on these different things, and you know you don't want to like have different ports of the thing, whatever the fuck. But with the Unreal Engine, now nobody's using the Unreal Engine 5 except to make fake videos of games that would look cool on the Unreal Engine 5, sure. Like Mario and Ocarina of Time and shit, and yep. They look fucking amazing. And yeah, it's like, why hasn't anybody made a whole game like this? It's like taking that whole Matrix graphical thing, that the technology, whatever, tech demo. It's like, why don't they make games like that? And they are now. And to have a game running on Unreal Engine 5 is huge. For it to be a Witcher game, which again, same mic, I tried and it just wasn't my shit at all.
I didn't like the third one, and that was supposed to be one of the best games ever made. Nope.
Yeah, it has the nuances like, you know, you grow your own beard and CD Projekt Red, I guess, loves throwing those things in. I am also a believer that the whole dong mechanic in Cyberpunk had a lot to do with the game.
I believe that's the technical term for it, too.
The dong mechanic.
Yeah, I believe so.
So, but the thing is like all of these stupid things, it's like, why bother putting them in there? Well, guess what? With the Unreal Engine 5, they can. Yeah. And I think they could make one fuck of a game with this engine. Maybe people are afraid that using the engine is going to kind of tie them into Epic, whether they want to be or not. Maybe it does benefit companies to just develop your own engine and then run your games off there. A lot of people are. And, you know, sometimes I think that companies like to say and use the Unreal Engine, even Unity, just to make them look better, like having like on Unreal Engine, like shit, any game can come out and you see like the Unreal Engine logo come out, dude, it could be a game where it's like a pencil simulator or it could be fucking The Witcher fucking 10.
Yeah.
You don't know. And that's the thing. And it doesn't, not like you have to know, but when a game comes out and you see Frostbite Engine comes, you know it's EA, you know it's going to be, you know, hopefully a good game, at least a AAA game. You know, when the Red Project Red shit flashes on the screen, you know what you're in for. You know what you're in for. Mm. But when Unreal Engine pops up, it used to be sweet as fuck. Now it's like, oh, it doesn't matter. It's like, why even put it up there? Because everyone's using it.
Yeah, it's like, not, it's not, like, not, it's not exclusive used, like, anymore.
Unreal 3 for years.
Yeah, yeah, and it's hey, good engines, and it's just, I don't know. I not being a Witcher fan, not being an Epic fan, I would really be interested to see how this goes about. Unfortunately, I also think that we're not going to see anything for a very long time because of how awesome it's going to look.
Well, you hope so. You hope so. And, you know, they, as a company, especially a AAA video game creating company, you can't have two stinkers in a row, right? Like, you just can't. Like, that you may as well hang it up at that point. So, I bet you CD Projekt Red is feeling the pressure, and they're doing what they can to just kind of rise above that, which the only way they're going to rise above it is if they put out a game that's fucking awesome. And we were hoping that's what Cyberpunk was going to be, but obviously, you know.
So yeah, why?
Like, why they're like everybody's darling, and then they just fucked up with Cyberpunk, and then now they have accountability.
Yes, so. That's yeah. it. Yeah.
Why not put, like, why doesn't Epic like put Fortnite on Unreal 5? Their own properties. It's almost like they don't really trust them on there. And imagine, like, it would be an adult version of. So how about this? I'm not very tech savvy. Except I know that this whole ray tracing thing is definitely, like, game changing, and I could be way wrong in this statement, but it's almost like everybody just found this hugely, quote unquote, simple way to make things look fucking amazing, and almost everyone can do it. That could also have an impact on what this is, because Unreal 5 makes shit look beautiful. But dude, I've seen these engines coming out from, like, indie developers with ray tracing. Dude, it's like fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I don't know what's powering Horizon Forbidden West. All the footage I've seen from that game, it looks phenomenal.
Oh, it's awesome.
And it uses ray tracing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just tracing the rays of light that the sun, that the source would be making, and how it bounces off. And it seems like, just like, why weren't they doing that in the beginning? Like, that's the easiest way. Like, I don't know, whatever. But yeah, I don't know. I'm interested. I'm interested because every video I see from Unreal 5 looks fucking awesome.
Horizon uses the Decima engine. Is that right? Am I right when I say
that?
I
don't know. That must be Guerrilla Games.
It is. It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, yeah, it looks awesome. It does. Anytime you bring up Horizon, it makes me very happy. So, yes.
Like, yeah. Even like Gran Turismo 7, like, I mean, that also looks phenomenal.
Well, actually, let's get into that, because, you wrote another article on that.
But wait, did you see Grand Theft Auto 5 on the next gen? Oh my god, it's over, dude. It's over. It's over.
They're gonna
fucking unbelievable.
They're gonna sell just as much as they did before,
dude. The next step is VR, dude. This game, I am tempted to buy the game just, and I know I won't even play through it. I just want to be in the game for a little bit and look at everything.
Yeah.
It just looks so awesome.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree. Okay, well, let's go to Gran Turismo, because I know Verlaine loves racing games.
I love it.
Mike, this is another one. Yeah, I mean, you brought it up, so that's why I was going to it. So if you didn't bring it up, I wouldn't have gone to it, but here we are. Apparently, Gran Turismo 7 has been having, what, server issues? And they're saying that the game is mostly unplayable. Yeah. Tell us about this.
Their own update crashed the game for 24 hours.
I'm sorry, that should be laughing. But I mean, okay, you know, here it is again. It's another game console, or another game company, that isn't ready to put out the game because what it feels like is they don't fully understand the next gen yet, right? Like that, to me, that's what it really feels like. And I know I'm probably talking out my ass, but I'm talking about the devs out there, that it just doesn't seem like they've gotten a hang of it. I don't know, and because this shit keeps happening, so yeah,
another
racing game.
It's a racing game. Yeah.
It's been like a mess with this one. Like, well, last week it came out that they didn't want reviewers talking about the microtransaction roadmap that they had for this game, and in the last Gran Turismo game, it only costs like maybe like $1, $2 to unlock cars. In Gran Turismo 7. Unless you intend on grinding for hours to earn in-game credits to purchase some of these cars are up to like $50 to $200. So that already set people off. And by shutting the game down, the basic modes only like left 4 modes available. Even if you wanted to play like the game straight mode, they give you like 13 plain cars, and that's it.
Yeah.
Unless people just like grinding in a game that's more of a simulation racer, so you're not really going to get the kind of like arcadey feel that you might get from like Forza or like Need for Speed or something, it's just going to be kind of monotonous. I feel like I used to play Gran Turismo back in the day. I haven't really touched the series in
the
years.
Last time I played Gran Turismo was the first one. So there you have it. And then that was for the PlayStation 1, right? That was the original PlayStation. So
yeah.
At that time, that was probably one of the most beautiful games I've ever played. Like at that little, you know.
Yeah, car games like Forza
amazing.
5, like, when Xbox One launched, I bought that specifically because it looked like it's easy to make. Nowadays, it's easy to make a car look fucking real as fuck.
Yeah.
And that's why it was like cool just driving. I would drive first person only. I would do Forza 5 only first person. And it was cool, but then it was like, all right, it's driving. It's cool. They got this thing down, but I have a car. I want to go drive it. I don't get why people would be pissed off. I mean, shit. You just said the game before it, you know, cars, blah, blah, blah. And look, how many cars came out between last year and this year that they need to insert in the game?
Yeah.
It's not like, eventually every single car made is going to be in this game and you're going to be, you know what I'm saying? So like, if you don't want to pay $20 for something you paid $2 for last game, then don't. You know, one of the greatest racing games ever made started with 8 characters. You can only pick 8 fucking characters out of 8 characters, and they're complaining about 13 cars because, you know, the limitations. Shit, I was a fucking wrecking ball main in Overwatch, and his update one day killed the game, so they yanked him. Imagine that.
Yeah.
Imagine taking, but it happens. And you know, I don't know, especially with a game that has many iterations, like, just don't complain, just be like, all right, well, this one sucks, we'll wait a year for the next one.
Yeah.
When Call of Duty Ghosts came out, people did the same thing. People weren't complaining and nitpicking, they're just like, this one sucks, we're going to wait. We're going to play the one from behind, from back in the day, until the new one comes out. And that's all you got to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, they Modern Warfare, they, like, scrubbed it, polished it up, and gave it back to people. And, hey, everybody was cool again.
Good luck. And they were like, yeah, this is the greatest thing ever. Yeah, well, this, you've already played this game. So, yeah, anyway. But that's all they want. I mean, Verlaine just actually, you know, you have it. Verlaine just talked about GTA 5. We've played the game. I think I've bought the game 3 times, and I'll probably end up buying it again. And yeah, who knows?
You know? Dude, yeah, I mean, people laugh at the memes, but the game continues to sell. So yeah. What does that say?
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
I used to play Halo on PC when it came out. It was on PC. And I would play Blood Gulch just nonstop. And my problem with Halo is the lack of weapons, blah, blah, blah. But dude, I would fucking play this game with my pistol. Like, that's how good I was at this game. And I would just play that level nonstop. I would have my own server open, and like, anyone who came in, I just fucking fuck them up. It was great. And it was because it was a good game. Same with Team Fortress. Played the shit out of that game well after it was released. Good game.
Good game.
I played like Halo ODST for like probably a good year and a half after its peak. And it was so freaking fun.
That's cool. That's cool. I was never a big Halo guy. I'm not in on this party. That's okay. I don't mind. Verlaine, what is it going to take for you to buy a Steam Deck? And don't say it's never going to happen. I'm asking you legitimately.
What oh, I already told you. I told you when, and the same reason I would buy a Steam Deck would be the same reason I would buy a Nintendo Switch.
Which is?
And obviously, Nintendo's, as always, wrong, and it's fucking the fucking Game Pass.
Game Pass.
That's it. Game Pass. Game Pass on Steam Deck, Game Pass on the Switch, sold. That it's game-breaking.
Mike, what about you? What would take for you to buy a Steam Deck?
Oh, well, a couple of other things. I would like some of those buttons moved a little bit differently, but maybe drop the price on it.
Yeah.
But
that's fair.
Kind of into maybe game streaming, cloud, some cloud-based tech.
Well, I have good news actually for probably mostly for Lane. I'm sorry, Mike. But it turns out
same thing,
it's fine. There was a tweet that came out, and it reads this: "We work closely with our friends at Valve to support xCloud, Xbox Game Pass through Microsoft Edge for the Steam Deck. So, which means in order to play Game Pass games on the Steam Deck, you actually have to connect it to your Microsoft Edge. So I guess that makes it a little bit more expensive if you're going to do it, because you'd have to buy an Edge if you don't have one. Verlaine?
No, it's the browser. You just have to have the browser.
Oh, is it? That's what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you just have the...
I get it.
They're probably going to make the app eventually. But yeah, even through a browser... It's game changing. This is something that Nintendo should have been on immediately. They announced that they were going to work with Microsoft for something like this. And I think that the Steam Deck out of the two can pull it off. I think that with whatever they might be doing with the Steam Deck, I'm not sure about this limitations thing, or if games have to be approved before you can actually play it on the Steam Deck, the Destiny thing. But it's not going to happen with that. And dude, I mean, if it works wirelessly, then you're fucking set. Like, if they got it to where somehow they can just do it off 5G or a wireless signal, then the thing's worth buying 100%. Oh, 1,000,000%.
All right. Well, it looks like you can.
You know what's actually messed up is that Nintendo kind of fucked themselves by killing Miiverse. Miiverse, they could have integrated as their own search browser.
Nintendo doesn't believe in the internet. So.
Here, I'm kind of glad that you brought this up, but this is going to be kind of like a side path that we're about to go. But I have to mention this.
I love side missions. Let's go.
When it comes to the metaverse, now this whole thing baffles a lot of people, and it really has me thinking all the time about what it really is, because anyone can say what it is, but it's not really it's just kind of their interpretation of it right now until something's done. I think Xbox was already dabbling in it without knowing it. And I say that because of their old arcade indie games that would use your avatar, games like Doritos Crash Course, games like Keflings. It's a game that would use your avatar. No matter what you put on your avatar that you would win from other games, you would play as your avatar in certain games. That is kind of the metaverse, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Because your avatar with Xbox was you. People, like any avatar, they wanted it to look exactly like you and then have some cool shit from games that you played. And to bring that into other games, just even Crash Course, I wanted it to be me. When you're putting it into another game, people want to make it even more like them, because then they're in the game.
Yeah.
I just needed to mention that, because it's just if there was a metaverse, that's kind of what it would be like. If I could go into any game, whether I'm in VR or on the Xbox, and be me. If I'm in Infernax, my strength and charisma are a certain level. They're the same in every game I go in. I am fucking me.
Yeah.
Quote it, Bo.
I was going to say, he's totally going to quote that. That's for sure. I mean, I can't argue that. I can't argue that. You're bringing up points today that I cannot argue, and I do not like it. I'd like to argue that I can't argue it. Is that? Can we do that? I don't even know.
Yeah, we can.
The thing. Okay. All right.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's all I want.
So yeah, the Steam Deck is right now. It's looking like
it's getting better.
A viable contender.
It's getting
right
better
now, and
yeah.
it's really they pull it off. You have yourself a portable Xbox. And by which I'm going to guarantee a stronger relationship between Steam and Xbox, whether it be down the road we get, hey, guess what? You know, it's not really a Steam Deck. It's just, you know, whatever the fuck they make their own. Like, it's an official Xbox Steam kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because that's all this is doing. This is making what Xbox never had, portable fucking Xbox. And this, by default, is already destroyed PlayStation's fucking try at it and a direct competitor to Nintendo, the only company that can pull it off.
Yeah.
Fucking kudos, yeah. Gabe Newell.
You would, Verlaine, you would. Okay. All right. You guys ready to move on? Can we move on?
Yeah.
We can move on? Okay. So this past week, there was a we finally got to see some actual gameplay, like a good amount of it, when it comes to Hogwarts Legacy. Yes, it's a Harry Potter game. It's an RPG, and it's honestly, I was watching the video, and it looks kind of fun. I was like, damn it, this looks actually fucking fun. I don't want to buy this.
Have you ever played
this
any Harry Potter game, though?
Because
I have. I don't remember which ones I played, but I've played a couple of them, and they're not bad. They're direct. Yeah. They're good movie-to-book or movie-to-game translations. Usually they're fun. There's many games that are Harry Potter, but
yeah, this story takes place, I believe, in like the 1800s or something like that. So it's like Hogwarts is obviously still a thing. It's been there for thousands of years, but, you know, it is a little pull back a little bit. You know what I mean? So, there won't be any flying Fords or anything like that. It would be like a flying chariot or something like that. Yeah. Although the biggest question is where will this game fall? Is it exclusive? It turns out it is not exclusive. You'll be able to play on the PC, PS4, PS5, Xbox One, Xbox Series X, and the Switch. That was actually something they never mentioned until this past week. So it turns out you will be able to play Hogwarts Legacy on your Switch. Although I will not, as long as it's available on the PlayStation 5.
Yeah, why would you?
Why would you, right? So,
you can have it on the go.
Yeah, I know. Oh, well, you know, no.
Yeah,
no,
on the go. More like the stop and go, because once you don't have a signal, you can't play until you get to your stop.
Let me tell you how many games I play on the go. Mobile games. That's it. And it's not like very long, you know, it's like a quick check-in or I'm sitting on the toilet, right? Like I usually sit and play a video game, so I don't really need it on. I don't even need my Switch. Does anybody want it? I'm just kidding.
So
I'm getting there.
I thought the gameplay looked really good. It looked good. I played Harry Potter games. They're kind of fun. When I was into the movies and the books and stuff, like it was cool. I think obviously anything in VR for me would be way better.
And I was going to bring that up. When I was watching the gameplay, the only thing I could imagine was how fucking sweet it would be to be able to fucking do
in the school to be in VR. Like that's an opportunity. And like the more and more of these amazing games come out, like, again, look, I look at this game and it looks beautiful, but then like, it's like the reason I think, wow, this would be cool in VR is because it's almost like every other fucking game, over the shoulder camera, awesome, big, you know, it all looks good, but it just seems like when you play it, it's going to play the same.
Yeah.
It's going to like, everything's going to do the same. Honestly, it'll be about the story. I'm not saying it's going to be a bad game, but like, you know, some of us gamers I don't need another story. I've heard plenty of stories in my life. Like, I'm okay with a game that has, like Overwatch, that has no story, just good gameplay. you know, games like Dead Cells that really like has a story that you don't need to really even care about if you don't want to, because it's fucking great to play.
Yeah.
But yeah, VR would be great. Nintendo Switch having ports is just like, I think it's the worst idea they can do, because it kind of like shows off how weak the console really is when it comes to somebody who's played it on another version and they play this. Not to mention it probably costs more because you're not making a game and kind of like just flipping a few little switches and getting it over to the other side. Like, you're kind of have to redo the entire game to get it over.
Yeah, they're going to data crunch a lot of it.
Yeah.
So. Right. And it's going to look like a fucking PlayStation 2 game or a PSP game. Now, again, let's branch off. I just realized that The Force Unleashed is coming out on the Nintendo Switch.
Hmm.
Yeah.
What the fuck? That's got to mean something more than just The Force Unleashed is on the Nintendo Switch.
What would it mean?
I don't know. We can delve into this, but it can't just be.
We shall.
A rant to me. This is just almost like a random game. Granted, one of the best, but a random game that could have been on Nintendo stuff like a long time ago is being ported to the Switch. Now, obviously, it's the version that would have been on the fucking Wii. It looks like garbage. It looks like the PSP graphics. But why? Unless it's prepping people for something else. Because there's a lot of other games that are maybe better based on actual Star Wars fans that are better than this, like Knights of the Old Republic and stuff, and games like that might even look
better
or on the Nintendo Switch play easier. It would match the aesthetic of the graphical power of the Nintendo Switch, because it still looks like they had to dumb down the graphics for this game to get it on the Switch, which is very pathetic.
Yeah.
Hugely pathetic, because to this day, I still play this game. I know. I can see that this game is a fucking way dumbed down version. So they didn't even like make it look better for the Switch. They're giving you the Wii version. Yeah, and they're keeping the wand motions, but it's just, there's got to be another reason.
Yeah.
I believe that this isn't just, hey, here, have The Force Unleashed again.
I don't think it's here it is again. I think you're looking into like a conspiracy theory. I don't really think there's any conspiracy theory. I think what it is there's been a lot of people clamoring for the game on Switch because that's the console they own, and they're finally just porting it down to it. But I could be completely wrong. Verlaine could be completely right, but I don't think he's right.
Switch's library. It's kind of running out of like high end exclusives, so they're kind of porting some of those older titles over there because it's easier to do.
So look, we are as real gamers getting a lot of Star Wars stuff.
Yes.
Whether it's really coming out or planned, but the Nintendo Switch, and I don't have one. I don't know of how many Star Wars titles they actually have. And if it's none, and then they're giving all of us so much greatness, and the Nintendo Switch still gets nothing.
Yeah.
They're giving them one of my favorite games in the whole world, but like I still think that it might be like, hey, remember, Star Wars can be found on the Switch, and in a few months we're going to see something. Just like that one title, that Overwatch one that they say is mobile, maybe it's going to go to Switch.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they're just, it's just to me, being a fan of Star Wars and this game and video games, it just seems very out of place. I mean, at least to bring a game like Knights of the Old Republic or Fallen Order or Jedi Academy or games like that, it almost would make a little more sense and fall more into what Nintendo does. RPGs, what I'm saying? Games that like are small but big. Games that last a long time. And, you know, it's just, I don't know. I'm going to look more into this and keep up with it because it just seems very odd to me.
Yeah.
Now, what was that Knights of the Old Republic remake going to be for? Like, what was that going to be, multi-platform?
It's going to be multi-platform, I'm pretty sure, but definitely not Switch, I think.
Yeah,
and if it is, then it's whatever, but same situation is going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Time will tell. VR is the future. Maybe.
They tried. Bocifa says something about Nintendo needs a co-op game that's so popular it'll push Switch game sales. They never will. They tried that with their parental policies and their guidelines prevents them from doing anything cool multiplayer-wise because Overwatch, it's on there. But all right, we'll say Splatoon. They tried it with Splatoon. Splatoon, I think it just destroyed itself because of their guidelines. They couldn't give you just straight up communication. Without communication, a game like that cannot work. And then it just gets littered with all those little, like, everybody trying to get shit out because they were told not to.
Yeah.
When you stop people from doing something, they're going to do it. They're going to do it. Yeah, you know, right. And I think that
the chatting through it is, it's like still through the app. And also they haven't done anything about the rampant cheating in Splatoon 2. So
yeah, they're not, their co-op consists of the couch again. Like, I mean, it's amazing because like over in Japan, I mean, the 3DS, I mean, it's almost like you go down walking down the fucking street and someone has a 3DS and you can just play with them on the bus. Hey, you bored? You got a 3DS? Oh, cool. Let's play. You know, it was like, it was like that. And it's just like around these parts. I don't know. It's just maybe co-op and it doesn't.
Yeah,
I have no idea. I don't know how co-op gaming mobile even works because, like, I'm not a fan of it.
No,
any game that you know you drop in, drop out, like I've never been into like mobile ones.
Yeah. I see what you're saying. I'm into them. Not that I need any.
I mean, they have.
I just made Mario Kart. No, I just made it awkward on purpose. That's all.
But Nintendo Switch has Mario Kart. And I mean, that's true. And Smash. Yeah. Smash is one of the biggest games. Yep. It's not, I guess it's not co-op. I get the same there.
Yeah, ish, like, yeah, something like
Left 4 Dead.
All right.
Yeah, they'll like still do opens for like Splatoon, so they're not giving up on it yet, but it's easily a distant third in terms of like multiplayer or online centric games.
Yeah.
Which makes me even more mad that they won't fucking do anything with ARMS. But that's just me.
Oh, okay, fair enough. All right, well, then let's move on. How about that? Let's move on. Verlaine, this is going to make you happy. So it turns out we've been wondering why Reggie Fils-Aimé has left GameStop. And in a recent interview with Bloomberg, did you get a chance to read this article by any chance, Verlaine? Did you see it?
No, I just know. Okay. I glance it, so I kind of know.
No, you're fine. Well, here, I'll just, it's real quick. I'll read it to you. So, like I said, in an interview with Bloomberg, he says, there has not been an articulated strategy. Leadership says, we don't want to articulate our strategy because they don't want it to be stolen. To me, that was not acceptable. I can't blame him. Like, could you imagine being a part of a board of directors and you're just simply asking, you know, what's your strategy? What's your game plan? And they're like, we're not going to tell you because we don't want it getting out. Why am I a part of this? Dude, I thought I was against Reggie. Like, this guy is just going one thing after the next. Dude. I'm on his side on this at this point because that is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life, and I do not blame him. Again, I want Reggie on the show so we could fucking ask him about it. But anyway, Verlaine, you're smiling like an idiot. What do you think?
No,
I don't know why I said that.
Reggie is it was the right move. Like, you don't stay at a business if they're pretty much saying, we don't know what we're doing.
That's pretty much what they said. Yeah, right.
When it comes to shit like that, like, hey, what's your game plan? That's kind of like saying, hey, what's your mission statement? What's your business plan, your business model? That's publicly available fucking shit. You know what their fucking game plan is when you walk through their fucking door. It's fucking video games and failing at them. But it's so weird because their game plan is kind of known, and it's that they're doing the whole 50-50 shift to fucking merchandise. That's what they're fucking doing. Yeah. It's obvious when you walk through the goddamn doors of a GameStop that, there's a lot of fucking toys here. You ask the employees and they'll be like, yeah, this is a 50-50 store. That's what it's called, a fucking 50-50 store. So no offense, Reggie, but if you really did your due diligence and looked at shit,
I love how he turns it back on him.
You would have seen certain stores called 50-50 stores
yeah.
and been like, what does this mean? And then be like, oh, those are stores that we're converting to have merchandise. It's also, Reggie, why we purchased ThinkGeek, because they do fucking gaming merchandise, yeah. Reggie. So that's kind of our game plan, Reggie, is to do merchandise, Reggie, with the fucking video games that we're failing at, Reggie, because toys are not going to fail as long as Toys R Us is gone, Reggie. That's why everybody has them and everybody doesn't have them,
and
Reggie.
And this is the reason why Reggie will not be on the show.
Reggie, you can come on the show.
Mike, what say you?
Yeah, if any company is going to tell you that we don't really have any kind of idea what we're doing,
Bart's
it's
run.
Freaking video games. I don't know how they managed to blow this.
And they said it to Reggie. The president of Nintendo is not going to leak your fucking shit.
I know, right? Like, seriously, if you could trust anybody, it would have been him, right? Like, come on.
It's like we went out of our way to buy a name. They bought Reggie Fils-Aimé because he's fresh off of Nintendo when people thought, oh, he's going to save GameStop. Okay, but kind of like with Nintendo, he didn't really have any kind of influence in there. So what could he have brought to GameStop that would have changed anything?
It's a great point. Probably nothing. Probably nothing, but yeah.
It would have been something like, if he's like, hey, what's the strategy? Then they could have also been like, well, that's why we brought you in, sir.
Yeah.
You fucking ran Nintendo. But so it's kind of weird how that happened. Like, okay, I'll do your shit for a year, aimlessly just doing whatever the fuck, and then decide to ask what we're doing. You say, we're not going to tell you. Maybe there was something to that, Reggie. Maybe after working there, because you've been working there on the board for over a year, maybe they saw something in you that they didn't like. And then they were like, maybe we don't want to tell you. Hey, and I'm just like playing devil's advocate. But maybe that, because this isn't like he just jumped on a month ago and now this has happened. This really was a year.
Yeah.
So someone is not doing something. He was either like being like, hey, I'm just going to sit here and blindly do nothing. Because if he didn't know what their strategy was, he couldn't have been doing anything. So that, you know what I'm saying? So like, it's all wacky wacky. But yeah, when it comes down to it, if it was just legitimate, what the story is what we know and what happened. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, especially if you have Reggie and he says, what's your game plan? I mean, I can't, dude, it doesn't make fucking sense. Because when you say, hey, Reggie, would you like to be on our board? That's when he says, what's the game plan? And if you're like, I don't know, then he's like, no, I don't want to take the job. So at some point, they said something to him that was a game plan.
Or at least maybe an inkling of it. I see,
dude,
what you're saying.
I mean, come anything. On. I don't know. Whatever. It's so weird.
Someone just stole something out of your room there, Mike. I just want to let you know.
You just got reverse swatted.
Yeah, I don't know who that was, but somebody just stole
controller
something.
Controller working.
Yeah. Mike gets up and just busts into a police station.
Yeah, if you're listening to the audio version, you didn't see it. But if you're watching it, then yeah, that was interesting.
Somebody totally stole something.
That's okay. That's okay. I'm sure. He looked like he was just like, what is he doing over there?
Hang on, guy. It was like they were there the whole time. It's like, I guess I'm just going to walk out. Like, there's not a good time.
Yeah, whatever. All right, let's get into the next thing. So we've been waiting for things to be said pretty much about the new AEW game. At least I know us as a group have been kind of waiting for it. Troy said that he's getting the new WWE 2K22 NWO edition next week, and then he said rest in peace Scott Hall. But as for AEW, this is the quote, a recent quote that they said about the game. He says, there's a story mode, which we're told is being worked on to include some input from certain wrestlers themselves. In addition, we've heard several of the Ukes team that helped create fondly remembered SmackDown vs. Raw games are part of this process as well. There are several wrestlers that we've heard from that haven't had anything to do with the video game thus far and aren't sure if they'll be included or involved. Others have taken reference photos but haven't done voiceovers. So obviously they're still in the infancy, if you will, of this game. What say you, Mike? Are you excited for this? Does that news excite you, or you're just kind of like, okay, that wet the palate at least?
I'm a little bit intrigued by what they decided to do with the story mode, because if there was anything about like wrestling video game story modes, is that I never really found myself lost in them.
That's
I never found that they
fair.
Were like good.
It's
like
it's the same. I look at it the same. Sorry to interrupt. It's the same as like the Madden storyline.
Yes, that my life or my career mode, where it's just kind of this hokey. Yeah. You're gonna create your own guy, and you go through this sort of like ticky tack story about your rides from like the independents to the major leagues. And I've always felt that it was like pretty garbage. I don't know if you remember the TNA video game or if you've even played it. The story mode in that one was you would take the Suicide character, which they would actually put on TV, who he became an actual wrestler that Impact Wrestling will still use today, and they put him in this stupid story mode where Jeff Jarrett beats you up and throws you in Mexico.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
And you have to fight your way from the independence back. So I don't really want something like that. What I would like to see a wrestling video game do with a like single-player story mode, give each wrestler their own story, kind of like Street Fighter or Mortal Kombat or something. Give them their own routes or their own tournament brackets so they can kind of reach a little bit of an ending, so you say, once you've like made it to the big show or whatever AEW considers their equivalent of WrestleMania. Like, I would kind of like to see something like that. And if you want to include a like my create a character mode and they have their own like rags to riches style story, please don't make it goofy.
I mean, that's a small ask, I feel like, right? That's a small ask.
Yeah.
Verlaine, what about you? Are you excited to see it? I know you're not a huge wrestling fan, but I do know you like wrestling video games. So where are you at with this?
I love wrestling video games. I don't know. When they announced it, I thought that they would have it out before the new WWE game. The WWE game took a year off, rightfully so, and then people were like, you know, it was probably attributed to how shitty the game's been. And then it's like, all right, AEW guys are like, well, old school, and then it's like, oh, sweet, because if you really are doing a game that's like an old school type game, it's not going to take that long to make, and maybe you're mentioning it now because, you know, you're smart and there is something there. But now it's like, fuck, dude, they fucking Nintendo'd us. They were just putting feelers out. Now they're starting, but WWE already has a game out. And most importantly, Yuke's being involved, to me, is not a good thing. Because look, Yuke's did, of the recent WWEs, they did the ones that we played, right? They did 13, which was one of the best ones. And they did all the way through 18. But by then, people dropped off. So, yeah, they're not doing, like, they didn't do the last one, I don't think. They're not involved in this one, but they were involved in the ones that pretty much we remember and are associating with this whole downfall of the WWE games.
Yeah.
That company is now affiliated with the game that we thought was going to come out and crush these dudes because they were like, fuck this new age shit.
It still very much can and could,
it's be a good wrestling game, but it's not going to be what they almost were trying to make us want, what we do want, a game that was just flat out kind of like the Nintendo 64 era, you know, which they also probably mentioned, like the fact that it, you know, you could do anything. There was no limitations to anything. Like, you could do more in those games than you could do in these games. And even to give us the games, even the games from like PlayStation 1 era and the games that were a couple generations after that were pretty good, you know?
Yeah.
But like, if you're just going to give us WWE 2013 with an AEW skin, I mean, I guess it's still going to be better than the new shit, but it's like,
it's not progressive enough. It's just like, here's a splash of nostalgia. How is this changing, like, the way wrestling games are made?
Honestly, doing a game with Yuke's outside of being like pretty much a straight up Nintendo 64 game, it's like, that's not nostalgic at all.
No,
it's not. It's not going to be
old
school game, really. But I don't know now. I really don't know, because now it's going to be like direct competition. What's going to sell me is how.
Well, I don't know. You say direct competition and you're expecting it to come out before the WWE game, but WWE is already working on the next game. They're going to put one out every single year. So it really doesn't matter when this one comes out.
Well, now it doesn't matter. And now the fact that, but what I'm saying is, like, if they don't go old school, like even Fire Pro Wrestling that people want, they're touting, like the age, it's age appropriate. Also, you would think the age of these wrestlers, that's what they want.
Yeah.
If it's not like that, it is competition with WWE directly. Obviously, it can still be a good game, but the difference is only therefore going to lie in how they treat multiplayer and creating a wrestler, because WWE games of now fuck it up. They cannot do it ever. They just can't do creative wrestler. And if they pull it off, don't even think about doing it online.
Yeah.
Like I literally, like, you know, for years we would buy the WWE games and for years we'd play it online and create wrestlers, and the same glitches and the same moves that would glitch the game are in the game. Yeah. They wouldn't even take them out, yet they would expect different results.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
There's a word for that.
Insanity, I believe, is the word for that. Yeah, I think so. I mean, as far as I know, and Mike, correct me if I'm wrong, but I mean, AEW, they've purchased House of Hardcore. Okay, so and they also they're partners with like GCN and like all, a bunch of other like wrestling companies, right? I believe, yeah, right.
They struck a deal with like the Japanese company. Yeah, DDT. Yeah.
So yeah. which means the good thing about this is once this game is released, there's going to be a shitload of characters in it. I feel like it's going to kind of reminisce of. Of like a Fire Pro that Verlaine mentioned, because there were so many different wrestlers on that game. The only difference though is they were all pretty much the same with like a different finisher move. Like that's really all the difference it was. So hopefully there's more than, you know, more than we're expecting. But yeah, I don't know. This could be good. Meh. Meh. Let me tell you something that's not good though. Overwatch, and to be more specific, the Overwatch League. Verlaine, are you ready for this one? This one's a fun one. I was pretty fun. So the Overwatch League apparently does not have a single sponsor in less than 2 months before its fifth season. By no means is this surprising. The question I want to ask you is, do you want to know how much they're charging? And maybe we can be its sole contributor. No, yes, but, no. Maybe.
Okay, so it's that thought, the thought that you just had.
That no, is but why, as a joke, not even right, legitimately.
Right, but
it would just make us laugh. That would all it would do. And maybe more people would listen.
But there's people, like, it came, I thought the same thing. I'm like, well, fuck. Like, I'll just fucking sponsor them. Yeah, and a lot of people would think that, which is why this is just, to me, just this article in general, the whole story is just kind of like, fuck you.
Yeah.
Because here's the reason.
They're going to get sponsorship.
The reason is because they just sold their fucking company. The reason why you don't see the new Lego sets again.
Yeah, right.
The new shit is not out because they just sold the company, which means they have to rewrite everything, contracts and everything. Mm-hmm. So you bet your fucking ass they're going to have sponsors, and one of them is going to be fucking Microsoft.
Yo, it'll be the main one.
That's the only – yeah. So even if they don't have sponsors, they have Microsoft. So if Microsoft wants to just be like, we don't need the money from sponsors, we want to take all the money ourselves, we're fucking Microsoft, then shit.
They can. Good. They can.
So stop trying to knock Overwatch. Knock Overwatch's company. But fair enough. Dude, like, no. The game, like, they'll get sponsors. And even if they don't, it'd be a better story if it's like, Overwatch has no sponsors, still no date to start. They don't even know if it's going to go on. That's a story.
Yeah.
But they're still, two months, they are going to start the leak. In 2 months, it's going to start. Sponsors or not, it's going to start, which means there is money there from somewhere, and it's probably from the fucking acquisition.
Exactly. Well, we're definitely going to keep an eye on this one, just because I want to see which domino falls first. Well, pretty much.
the fact that this league is going to be played on Overwatch 2, right off the bat, like, that's a fucking gold mine for anybody who sponsors this league just for that first day, because this is going to be like Wizard type shit, the movie, where people are going to this movie solely to see Super Mario Brothers 3 gameplay.
Yep.
That's it.
It's so also still probably going to pull like Twitch numbers too. So
yeah, dude, and they're being smart about it. That's why they're not releasing a lot. We are going to get the first look at that, and it doesn't like they're going to make their money just off that first night when people see Overwatch 2 being played.
Sponsored by Game Fix.
Sponsored by Game Fix.
That'd be sweet. Call. Give me a call.
Yeah. They should have a contest. Just be like the winner of the contest gets their name as a sponsor.
Have you ever won a contest and got a job before?
Yeah,
I know. that's a story for a later day. All right, let's go to some movie news, movie and TV shows. How about it? At the beginning of if you're watching the live version, we just started playing like new trailers that are coming out this week. I chose to play the new Ms. Marvel trailer that came out from Marvel Studios, obviously, and this one is going to be on Disney Plus. It's a TV show, you know, blah 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 blah. What say you? Do you guys like it? Do you guys are looking forward to this? Are we going to talk about this on our show? That's what I'd like
yes.
to know. Yes. Mike?
Yeah.
It looks pretty intriguing.
Like, okay. Cool. Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. I think I mean, can they do wrong? Can Marvel do wrong? I mean, at this point they've proven to us over and over and over again that they have quality shit. So, this leads me to think that they will have quality with this as well. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I've always dug the Kamala character since her introduction, and the trailer, it gave me vibes of like what's it called, the nerdy kid books, Diary of a Wimpy Kid.
Oh, Diary of a Wimpy Kid. Yeah, yeah, kind of.
Yeah, I like kind of got some vibes with that. And I mean, if I couldn't age myself anymore with this reference, like Clarissa Explains It All.
Nice.
Like. I got vibes from that. So
Ferguson and what was the name? What was the name of the alligator in her room? Do you guys remember?
Oh crap. I can't remember off the top of my head.
Can't remember, but I think it was Steve. Maybe I'm wrong by saying that, but for some reason that's what I want to say.
But Yeah, that's gonna blow. I'm probably gonna Google that after the show.
yeah, no, that was a great show. Anyway, yeah, anyway. But yeah, we will definitely once that is out. We will get to that, and then it's June 8th when that starts streaming. So by then we'll be talking about it. So yes. The next thing, Evil Dead Rise. So we're getting a new Evil Dead. I'm imagine this is not like the old school Evil Dead. This is a sequel.
A series. Or, I think.
Oh, it's a series. Oh,
yeah. I'm pretty sure.
I mean, they are calling it the fifth Evil Dead movie or film. So I think it's a movie.
Oh, all right.
If
it's the sequel.
Yeah, the film will release in theaters and on HBO Max 2022, but no official release date yet. Mm. So it is in fact a movie.
Well, even better then.
Okay. Does it have anything to do with like the original two or three or whatever?
To me, it looks like it's in a fucking skyscraper.
So yeah, it looks like it's like Evil Dead meets Die Hard.
Did you see the article?
Which would be awesome if
about how someone said it might have been Raimi said that. In Doctor Strange, like there's going to be a scene that is specifically that will cater to the Evil Dead 2 fans, not the Evil Dead fans, not the Army of Darkness fans, but the Evil Dead 2 fans. So now I got to watch the Evil Dead 2 to see what's so different about it. I just remember that one as being really wacky because they started the movie like the first one ended, but reshot everything.
Oh, okay.
And almost changed it just a little bit. It was just the weirdest fucking thing.
Evil hard, die dead.
Hey man, let me tell you, Marvel Zombies, the comic book had Ash in it.
It's true.
They had a run with Ash versus Marvel Zombies because of the Necronomicon and shit. He got transported to Marvel Zombies land. Point being that Ash kind of right now is canon with Marvel. So he could... I'm not going to say this, but he could end up in Doctor Strange. I'm not going to bet on it. Not like I'm betting on Maguire Spider-Man being in Doctor Strange. I'm not betting on Ash in some way, but he could absolutely end up in the Doctor Strange, even for a fucking scene.
Bruce Campbell's been dropping those hints,
and he's been in Marvel movies forever. Granted, it's been the the Sony versions, but still,
sure.
Yeah.
we'll see. The next one is it's Netflix. This is going to be on Netflix. Resident Evil, July 14th.
That's what I was thinking of.
Okay.
That was the show. This is going to be a show, which is weird because they just redid the movie. I don't know, dude. Did you watch the new movie?
No.
Did I mention I watched it?
I did. I saw it.
And?
I fell asleep, dude. Like, so here's the thing, though. They kept it very accurate to the games, but they were shoving 1 and 2 at you together, and that ruined Queen of the Damned because they were blending Lestat and Queen of the Damned together, so it came out just to a mess, and that's what I felt this movie did. Like, they didn't give it time.
Yeah, it was really jarring to the point that you couldn't pick like a tone. It was cool to finally see the Arkley Mansion in a Resident Evil movie, but they lead the build up to like the first zombie from like the first Resident Evil game where it looks up, turns around you. That happens at like the 40-minute mark of the movie.
Yeah, that's way late. But you know it's gonna happen. Like, and that's the thing too. Like, I don't know if I like that or not when like scenes from the game would happen and you knew it. It's almost like, is this a spoiler or is it
it's
like
a recreation.
This is supposed to be an homage,
but
it's not really because it really is part of the story. I don't know. Yeah. It was just very weird. It's like, are you nodding, remaking, or just making a new movie just based on the video game? Because I didn't know what the fuck.
It was just dropping references after references. They even threw like Code Veronica hints in there, and I don't even know why.
Yeah, neither do they, I would imagine. So,
the acting was fucking, it was just it was a pretty shitty movie, but it fit with all the other ones, so there you go.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, I would say if I were to compare it with the first Resident Alice movie with Mila Jovovich's super powerful, unstoppable character, I'd say they're probably on par. I love the fact that there were actually zombies in Welcome to Raccoon City as opposed to the entire team in the other Resident Evil movie being taken out by lasers. The special effects were kind of corny.
I think I like the Alice Resident Evil 1 better because it did the homage thing and it wasn't like it. You knew it was like making difference, but it was still kind of the same. It was still technically in the mansion. It was to me a little bit scarier. The tone was way darker. Just, I don't know why they would have created new characters and not used the originals. But, I mean, I don't know. After that, fuck it. But, like, yeah.
Right.
I can only imagine what the show is going to be like, because, I mean...
Yeah, that's going to be... Like, is it going to be the Arkley Mansion, isn't it? Are they going to pick up from Resident Evil 2? It's...
They do anything they want.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Okay, last but not least, actually an article that Michael, you wrote up. It's a new animated series that's going to be on Netflix. It's called Tekken Bloodline. So we're actually going to get a Tekken cartoon. Is this the first time?
This is the first series that Tekken will get. They've had a couple of anime movies in the past. In like 1998, there was like Tekken, the animated motion picture. One of the most god-awful fucking pieces of trash as I've ever seen. Oh,
tell
God,
us how you really feel, though.
Okay, like, I love indulging in garbage.
Yeah.
I like bad media. It's some of the stuff that gives me life. The Tekken anime from 1998 is something I'll never, ever watch again. Oof. I think it's that horrible.
All right.
They did that, and then like around like 2011, they did like a CGI movie, Tekken Blood Vengeance, which was kind of like a side story between like Tekken 6 and Tekken 5. That one was okay. It was a little generic. And this one's going to be like the first time that they'll actually do like an episodic series. I'm surprised that's never happened. There's also two live action Tekken movies in 2014, 2015. The first one starred Cary Tagawa, Shang Tsung, as Heihachi. which is kind of awesome. And I actually like that movie. It was a touch hokey, but I thought that they got the likenesses of the characters well enough.
That's cool.
And the fight scenes are pretty cool. So I think if you're a fan of like Bloodsport, it was like kind of like that line of action.
I see. I see. Yeah, this is cool though. I mean, I'm not really big on anime, but I might at least check the first episode, see what it's all about. Verlaine, are you into this?
No. It's very hard to make anything out of a fighting
game. I agree.
Because then you have to pick certain stories to follow, or you get shit because you're trying to do whatever the fuck. I know that was very descriptive. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But to me, this looks like it's just Netflix. Like, damn, we need something to compete with, you know, HBO's got Mortal Kombat and it's winning right now on both ends. And you know, the animation department isn't necessarily anime, but the only thing that separates that is the continent it comes from.
Sure.
You know, the WDB animation, especially for DC and Mortal Kombat, is fucking amazing. So, I mean, that's to me when you're like, oh, a Tekken anime, to me, it's just like, all right, a Tekken cartoon. Tekken isn't my forte. I lost track of the whole story of that.
I don't even know what's going on with that.
So to me, the anime part matters nothing. Back in the 90s, or when I was a teenager, and you said anime, like Street Fighter anime, I don't give a fuck what the story is. It looks sweet. Yeah. It was drawn sweet. The fighting looks sweet. But like, yeah, now you look at that shit, it's like, okay, you're going to have to give me more than just anime, because like every fucking anime company does anime.
Pretty much. Like this might piss off some people in my friends list, but novelty's off. It's off with that. It can't just go, here's an anime adaptation, because so many other anime studios have like caught up with what you can do, and you'd probably rather just play the video games anyway. So
mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. I think we could leave them there. And we can let them go with the famous quote by the scholar Verlaine. Even all the anime companies all have anime. that was awesome. I was like, what? I mean, he's not wrong. You're not wrong. So that's cool. It's cool. All right. So I just thank everybody for taking the time to listen live. If you are Chris, Troy, Bocephus, I think Jack was in there too at some point. And everyone else, thank you so much. Sometimes we don't get people actually talking. So if you're here, say hello at least. That's really all we want. So so please check out our website, gamefixshow.com. You could read all the articles that Mike and Gina wrote. She actually wrote up one. You guys should go check it out about N64 keychains that have never really seen the light of day. So you should go check that article out on the website, gamefixshow.com. Anything else I need to tell the good people before I go, guys? Before I go. You guys aren't leaving. I'm leaving.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're just going to keep it going.
Just keep it going. All right. I guess there's one thing always left to do, and that's it's your world. Pay attention.
Oh, shit. Here we go again.
I love you.
Sayonara.
Adios, turd nuggets!
In a world infatuated with comic fandom, comes a show to help us remember the talents that have inspired us.
Whoa, cut.
Oh, come on, it wasn't that bad.
It's a bit dramatic. Let's just tell them about the show, guys.
We are the Canned Air Podcast.
Join us weekly for a comedic trip through pop culture.
We also welcome some cool comic creators, as well as some of the voice and screen actors that helped shape your childhood.
Find us on cannedairpodcast.com and on the Evergreen Podcast Network.